I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Pastor Floor, for the privilege of having me. This is my first time being here, and I've already enjoyed the spirit of the pastor and his hospitality, and I want to thank you for getting me picked up from the airport today. I'm looking around. I know you're in here somewhere. I'm just kind of acting like I'm being smooth about it. I don't know where he is. There he is back on the sound. Oh, you who I was talking about. But, no, I do appreciate you picking me up from the airport today and the meal, the accommodations, and the fruit basket. My secretary knows if they ask what kind of fruit basket I like. I like fruit baskets with no fruit. Amen. If it's sugar-free, cholesterol-free, fat-free, it means it's nasty. All right? So, calories and fat taste good. All right? So, I had sweets and chocolate and Skittles and Reese's. Come on, say amen. And all kinds of juice with sugar in it and everything that kills you. I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to die happy. And so I appreciate the fruit basket with no fruit. And obviously you called our churches and found out what we like. And I appreciate you putting that in the room and making me feel comfortable. And I'm so glad to be here tonight. What a joy it is to be in the house of God. A lot of places in town we could be tonight, but there's nothing else going on better than what's going on in the house of God. No doubt in my mind. And I'm so glad to be here. I appreciate the privilege again of seeing my dear friends. And, you know, sometimes preachers get up and say, yeah, friends. And, you know, we just kind of say it, the small talk. But these are really my friends. And I do thank God for them and for the wonderful privilege that God gives us to fellowship. Brother Charlie was just up in our church just a couple weeks ago for our youth conference. And now we had a time with the Lord and some great decisions made for the Lord. 8 or 9 saved. Some called to preach, and just, I don't know, about an hour and 45-minute invitation on Friday night where folks were just getting right with God. That's okay, amen. And I do thank God for that. And Pastor Skelly and I have the opportunity to preach a number of places together. One of my dearest friends in all the world. And I do appreciate his realness. I appreciate his church, great church that he has there. I've had the opportunity to be here, the opportunity we have to fellowship one with another. You're going to find out sooner or later you need good friends. You're going to find out the hard way that you need good friends. And I thank God for good friends that God has given me and for the opportunity to serve God with them. They just put the clock up on the screen, so that means I guess I'm supposed to hurry up. All right. Jonah chapter 3 tonight. Let's look at Jonah chapter 3 and stand to our feet if we could for the reading of God's word. I'm not going to preach long. But I do want to give you a thought that I hope will encourage you tonight. Jonah chapter number 3. All right. Some of you cool dudes need to quit trying to be cute and go ahead and look in the back and look up the number on the page. You know, you see you trying to look at the girl, see where her page. Just look up the back, J-O-N-A-H. You got a little number beside. Oh, you just look on where her. Amen. They play it off. I knew what I was doing, dog. You know, you feel me. You know what I'm saying? All right. Praise the Lord. I ain't mad at you. All right. Jonah chapter 3. Whatever works, do it. Jonah 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city of a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, takes anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Father, I do thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be in the house of God tonight. God, we are honored to be in thy presence. Now, Lord, I do pray, God, that you will take your word tonight, serve it on the table of the hearts of these people here tonight, that every one of us might eat, be filled, strengthened in everything you'd have us do. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Father, I have no idea how to help anyone in here tonight, but I know a God who can. Some came in with one need and others came tonight with another. But we know that you are in the business of changing lives and meeting needs. So God, would you show up in a special way tonight? Would you bind Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way he would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Move in a special way so that when we finish tonight, we can truly say that God did it and nobody else could. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your precious word. Bless and protect my dear wife and family while I'm gone. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Jonah is one of the 12 minor prophets in the Word of God. 4 major prophets, 12 minor prophets. Now, mind you tonight that they are not major because they're more important or minor because they are less significant. Just major in the fact that God inspired them to write more scripture than he did the minor prophets. Jonah is one of those stories that as a child, perhaps in children's church or in Sunday school, most of us are very familiar with. We've all heard about Jonah. Jonah, Jonah did not obey God immediately. Jonah, Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea. How many of you sang that when you were growing up? All right, well, praise the Lord. I'm in good company. How many of you still sing that now? Oh, praise the Lord. All right. So Jonah is one of those stories that most of us are very familiar with. We've all heard about the story of Jonah. Someone would look at this short book, just 4 chapters in the Word of God, tucked away at the end of the Old Testament, and perhaps wonder, just what is this story, Jonah, about? Some would say, maybe it's about this great fish. Jesus called it a whale in the Gospel of Matthew. Maybe Jonah is about this great fish. That great fish is mentioned 4 times in the book of Jonah. Perhaps Jonah is about this great city, Nineveh, 9 times in this book. The city of Nineveh, or that great city, is mentioned. Some would say, maybe Jonah is about Jonah, this prophet. It's the name of the book. He's the man about whom the story was written 18 times in these 4 chapters in this book of this minor prophet. The name Jonah is mentioned. But can I say to you tonight, this story in Jonah is not about a great fish. It is not about a great city. And it is not about a prophet by the name of Jonah. This story in the Word of God is about a great God. Although the great fish is mentioned 4 times, and the great city is mentioned 9 times, and Jonah himself is mentioned 8 times, 38 times in these 4 chapters, God is mentioned. And by the way, in every book of Scripture, God is the central thought. God is the main thing. My friend, you may be in the story, and it may surround you, and details may be documented about you, but you don't change lives. You don't make the difference. And by the way, we as preachers can stand up and get people to embrace our charisma, or we can get people to love our personality or to laugh at our sense of humor. But at the end of the day, that's not what makes a difference. My friend, it is a holy, awesome, unchanging God that makes a difference in the lives of people. So we see a book named Jonah and a great fish and a great city and a prophet, but the story is about God. 38 times it is mentioned. And when we look at the book of Jonah, we begin to see that as God dealt with Jonah, and as God dealt with Nineveh, so God deals with us today. It gives us a great perspective on God and his dealings with people. Hey, let me tell you something. I want to know how God deals with his people, because I'm one of them. I want to know how God reacts.
And I want to know the kind of God that I serve. And I want to know the kind of God of this Bible. And by the way, I want to know that the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the God of Isaac and the God of Naomi and the God of Ruth, I want to know that I can be here in 2010 in a godless world and know that I can have a relationship with that same God. And just like He loved them, He loves me. And just like He guided them, He guides me. And just like He protected them, He protects me. Hey, I'm glad He was Ruth's God. But I'm glad tonight to say, He's my God. No question about it. Now, I want to just give you a thought about God out of Jonah. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, you don't have to get happy about that, because I can get happy all by myself. But I'm going to say something to you. It means something to me that this verse crept its way into the canon of Scripture. Because Shazam, once it got in there, it ain't going nowhere. Amen. I'm glad that it got its way into the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse number 1. And I'm glad that the God mentioned in Jonah 3, verse 1 is the same God that I served in August of 2010. You see, you can read this story and find out that Jonah didn't do what he should have done. And Jonah didn't go where he should have gone. And Jonah didn't act how he should have acted. But I like this story because God didn't give up on him. And God didn't put him aside. And God didn't say it's all over. And God didn't just knock him down. And God didn't just disqualify him. God could have been done with Jonah in chapter 1. But I'm glad that chapter 3 is in the book, because the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And I'm here to tell you tonight, my God is the God of the second chance. You may be sitting in here tonight, as a young person. You can say to me, Brother Kenny, you don't know how I failed. You don't know how I've messed up. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've gone. You don't know what I've said. You don't know how I live. And I don't. But I know a God who does. My God is acquainted with all of your sorrows. And He's aware of all of your sins. And my God knows how you failed. And He knows how you messed up. And He knows what you do. And He knows what you don't do. But I'm here to tell you tonight that my God is a God of compassion. And my friend, I don't care where you are, who you come from, what you've done, and how you messed up. I don't care who your mama is, who your daddy is, who your friends are, or what your habits may be. There's a God who looks across this auditorium tonight. And you may say, preacher, how do I know that God's given me a second chance? Do this with me. And do this. Do this. And do this. One more time. Let me dive into the depths of profundity for a moment. You're alive. If you can inhale and exhale, you're alive. And if you're alive tonight under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, if you're alive tonight with a good old-fashioned King James Bible in your hand, it is proof text to tell you tonight that God's not done with you, that God's not finished with you. And I'm saying to the young man or to the young lady or to the backsliding Christian tonight, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you give out. Don't you back down. Don't you back up. Don't you put up. And don't you shut up. Step up tonight and understand, God showed up at this meeting tonight, and as much as you messed up and as many times as you failed, He says, I'm still the God of the second chance. And He's got a plan, and He's got a purpose, and He's got a pattern for every life. And let me give you a couple thoughts tonight and I'll be done. I want you to look at the rebellion of this saint. I mean, Jonah messed up bad. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Arise! Verse number 1. Chapter 1, now in verse number 2. Go to Nineveh. Cry against it. But Jonah rose up to flee. See the rebellion of this saint. He ran from the call of God. I wonder tonight if there's somebody in here that's run from God's call. Hey, some of you headed to a college. God doesn't want you at. Some of you seeking a vocation where God doesn't want you in.
Some of you young men, God wants you to preach and you're battling God. Some of you young ladies, God wants you to surrender and you're battling God. God's told you to go that way and you're running from the call of God. Can I remind you of something? You can run, but you can't hide. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? There's nowhere I can go where God's hound dogs won't hunt me down. He ran from God's call. He rejected God's command. Go to Nineveh. He went to Tarshish. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what God's commands are? Here they are. David said, therefore I have esteemed all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. What are you saying, David? He said, I've made up my mind. God is always right about everything. And everything that's not right, I don't like it. Come on. Hey, let me tell you something. You better let this Bible rule your life. You better let this Word run your life. Listen to me. You better not be looking on TV as to what to do. You better not be turning your iPod on trying to find out what to do. You better not look at some thug, some athlete to tell you what to do. You better not look at some movie star to tell you what. You better not be watching your friend to tell you what to do. Hey, listen to me. We're not winging it. We're not experimenting. We're not just trying to go down outside and flip a coin and somehow make it. I've got an inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's perfect. It's prophetic. It's pure. It's probing. It's piercing. It's penetrating. It's profitable. It's perfecting. It's potent. It's powerful. It's God's Word, and it works every time. Don't reject the command. No, 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 no. Don't do it. Here's Jonah. Rejecting God's command. Running from God's call. Residing in his own choices. I don't want to go to Nineveh. It ain't about what you want. It's about a God who wants to govern your life. Let me ask you a question. You ever rebel against God? You ever run from God's call? You ever rejected a command? I can tell how many teenagers have said to me, I know what God's Word said, but I know it's not right, but I know it's against God's will, but move the butt out the way. Yeah, that's what I said. Did he know what he said? Yeah, he did. And he meant it. And he's leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. Booyah. All right. So move it out the way. And let God be right all the time. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Are we sitting across the proverbial table and having some intellectual debate and seeing if I can somehow convince God to come to my side? No, no, no. Let's reason together that He's right and we're wrong. That's the reasoning. Isaiah chapter 1. The rebellion of this saint. Notice now the repercussion for his sin. Verse number 4. Oh, you running, huh, Jonah? Oh, yeah, you got on a boat. Went down, you hide now, got a nade in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. It's going on. I got out of God's will. I got accepted to another college. I'm dating a girl, nothing bad happened. I'm skipping church, hadn't gotten an accident. Come on. Yeah. Some folks ain't going to get right because they hadn't had tragedy yet. Just listen, just because you can breathe and you got money in the bank and you got a decent job doesn't mean that the storm isn't round the corner. Here he is on the boat. By the way, the Bible says he went down to Joppa. Anytime you ever go out of the will of God, you always go down. He's on the boat. And everything seems fine. But, verse number 4, the Lord sent a great wind. Hey, how many of you know that sometimes when it's smooth sailing, God knows just how to rock the boat. Jonah's sitting back there just sleeping like Brother Skelly demonstrated a few moments ago. And all that snoring. I don't know if he had a coat over his feet. I don't know. But he's laying there asleep on the back of the boat. And all of a sudden, that thing starts shaking. And all of a sudden, the passengers on the boat start getting afraid. And all of a sudden, this man that thought he
from God is in the middle of a storm that God sent Himself. Listen to me, young man. Listen to me, young lady. You can disrespect mama, rebel against your parents, fight against the will of God, but God will rock your boat. Yes, He will. He will.
The jolting of the plan there. Notice God begins to send a storm. And that boat's rocking. God begins to jolt that plan of Jonah's. Notice what happens. He jeopardizes other people. Look here now. Jonah's the only one that's sinned, but everybody on the boat about to die. You know what? Some of you kids are really selfish when you think that your foolishness only affects you. I've seen a heartbroken mama and a grief-stricken daddy standing in front of a church because some girl said, I'm going to date who I want to date, and now she's pregnant. Your mess doesn't just mess you up. It messes up everybody around you. And even though you sinned alone, everybody on the boat is going down. Do you care about your parents? Do you care about your church? Do you care about your family? Huh? Then I suggest you get on the right boat. You go to the right place. We see the jeopardizing of other people and the jolting of Jonah's plan. And now all of a sudden, the judgment that God had prepared. Notice the Bible said, the Lord had prepared a big fish. The Lord had prepared a great fish. Listen to me. Isn't it amazing that a whale that Jesus called it in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, isn't it amazing that this whale was the very instrument that God used to judge His servant? You know what? God may use something very unlikely to judge you. A whale? Here's a fish. When you ever heard, besides Pinocchio, of men getting swallowed by a whale and then talking down there while they're in there? Hey, listen to me. I never heard of it, but I tell you what, if it's in the Bible, it's for real. It's not a fairy tale. This isn't just a story that's meant to stir us up. It is God's way of telling us, you can run from me, but I will prepare just what it takes to get a hold of your attention. And there are some of you that are marching down the road to rebellion, and you're stepping away from everything that is sensible and that is wise and that God has for your life. And it'd be a shame if a year from now, some of you sitting under the sound of my voice are in jail or in the hospital or perhaps dead or out of the will of God or being chastised. It's just not worth it. Thirdly, I want you to notice in the whale's belly the repentance of sincerity. I want you to notice the personal pronouns in chapter 2. I cried by reason.
He heard me.
How the belly of hell
cried out.
Thou heardest my voice. Thou hast cast me into the deep.
I am cast out of thy sight.
Verse number 5, the waters compassed me. Verse number 6, I went down to the bottom. Oh, yet thou hast brought my life from corruption. Oh, Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord.
You say God is the God of second chances. And yes, He is. But when's the last time we saw somebody that rebelled actually repent?
It's hard to find real repentance anymore. Tears, crocodile tears. Phony baloney. I'm sorry I got caught. I'm embarrassed you found out. Did you have to check my cell phone? What you doing on my Facebook page? That's not repentance. Repentance is shame on me. You don't hear David talking about anybody else in Psalm 51.
Well, Bathsheba shouldn't have been on the roof.
That don't have nothing to do with you, bucko. Don't blame Bathsheba for your sin. Don't blame your servants for your sin. Don't compare yourselves with others and try to belittle the significance of your sin. You sin because you sin. That's why. You wiping that spit off your face, that sanctifies saliva. Leave that mess alone. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to go, oh, thank you. Got the nerve to wipe her face when I spit. You might hear one of these. No, I'm just kidding. You need an umbrella, huh? It's hard to find a teenager come to the altar and say, I'm sorry, God. That's why some of you make the same commitments every conference. It ain't nothing wrong with the God that you serve. He is the God of second chance. He is ready to forgive. He is the God of compassion. He is the God of mercy that renews your mercies every single day. You wake up with brand new mercies every day, but God will not make you do what you've got to choose in your heart to do. And some of you listen to that music, going to those places, dating that person, wearing those clothes, watching those shows, clicking on that pornography, need to lay down on an altar tonight and say, it ain't mama's fault. It ain't daddy's fault. It ain't my environment. It's my fault. I've sinned, God. He's personal with God. He's pleading with God. He's passionate with God. And it got God's attention because it was productive. God made that whale spit him up. And I don't care how deep in the clutches of God's wrath you are tonight. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. You just need to get real with God. You know, invitation time is not time to be cute. Whatever. You need to get on that altar and simply say, I'm in a mess. I'm in this belly because I should have listened to God. Amen. And I'm just going to get real with God. It's, the song I say, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I need you. I need you. Got a hold of God's attention. Spit him up. And then in chapter 3, here comes God again.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Hey, I don't know about you, but it sure is a refreshing moment in my life when I recall all my failures, all my stumbling, and all my faults. It still is good to know I can wake up the next day, get right with God, and still hear His voice.
Oh, He heard. There's a resolution to service.
I ran the first time, but I'm ready to serve now.
Could this be the first conference where you actually meant what you said? Will actually go home and live what you promised? Will you do what you committed? Can you hear Him calling tonight?
Teenager, I know what you did this summer. I know how you've ignored me. Preacher's kid, deacon's kid, youth group kid, I know what you watch. I know where you go. I know what you're saying. I know what you wear. But I love you, and I'll forgive you. And tonight,
I still got something for you to do. There's the hearing of God's word. Thank God there was the heeding of God's word. Jonah heard it. And this time, verse number 3, he arose. Hey, young person, get up this time. Bless God if your music's been jacked up and you got word from God about your music being wrong. Get up and listen to the right kind of music. Your prayer life's been run amok, get on your knees and get a hold of God. If your Bible reading has been sparing, get up and read your Bible. If you've not been soul winning, get up and tell somebody about Jesus. If your relationship isn't right with your parents, get up and get your relationship right with your parents. For heaven's sake, if God left you alive and He spared your soul and He didn't wipe you out, for heaven's sake, get up this time and do it right. It was a hearing There was a heeding. And there was a hastening. What should have taken 3 days took Jonah a day. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some teenagers get so right with God, they get in a hurry. Amen. I worry about these folks that say, I went to the altar tonight, and I made a decision for the Lord, and I even filled out a card. Then you go up to the same person and say, visitation is this weekend. You coming? Well, give me a couple of weeks. What did you do down there? Play thumb wrestling? What were you doing on it? What was all that snot? By the way, don't judge repentance by snot and tears. Some of that same snot and tears came when they were watching what that boat that sunk? Titanic. Some of you snotting and tearing on the... That wasn't repentance. Snot and tears do not always indicate repentance. Say, oh, God really got a hold of her. Look at all them tears. That girl cried on Finding Nemo. I mean, that's not repentance. She's just sensitive. You say, well, how do we know repentance? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. We know repentance when you get up off the altar and there's a difference in your walk. There's a difference in your worship. There's a difference in your witness. There's a difference in the way you read the word. We know you repented when you change. Paul said, ye are cleared of this matter, Corinth. You got right. Godly sorrow and repentance is always accompanied by change. Get in a hurry. How long are you going to wait before you get your music right? How long are you going to wait before you start sober? How long are you going to wait before you break up with that jerk? God, you're right. He's no good for me. So what's up? You going to break up with him? Oh. So hard. What do I tell him? You don't tell him anything. Buy you a Build-A-Bear and squeeze it. And put your voice on there. Hit the road, Jack. And don't come back. Holler at your girl. All right? Put that on the Build-A-Bear. But for heaven's sake, if God has spoken to you, get busy and get in a hurry. There was a hearing. There was a heeding. There was a hastening. And guess what? When he got to Nineveh, there was some happening. Them folks got saved. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no greater sensation in life than to experience God's hand on you to reach somebody else.
That's right.
I mean, we're thrilled. We're ecstatic that we have the privilege to get on. The thrill of our lives is not signing Bibles and taking, it shouldn't be, signing Bibles and taking pictures and looking famous. Good gracious. What makes us different than the rest of those celebrities that are dying and going to hell? That's not the thrill of our life is when we look back to that moment in our Christian experience where we came to agreement with a holy God. We found our significance. Somehow he worked us in and weaved us in with his son Jesus. Somehow we went from Adam to God's family. It does not make sense. The adoption procedures should not have ever happened. My court case should have never appeared before Almighty God. But my lawyer Jesus came down to where I was and he took my case. And he reached down into my reclaim. And he set my feet on a rock. And he established my going. And he put a new song in my heart. Heaven's my home. God's my Father. Jesus my Savior. Holy Ghost my Comforter. The Word of God is my guide. He indwells me with the Holy Ghost. Instructs me with the Holy Bible. And then he uses feeble and weak instruments as we are to save souls. Now, you want to argue with me that the whale's belly is better than that? If you think so, you're retarded. Professionally. Call Tiger up today. And ask him if being ranked number one golfer gives you joy when you go to bed at night. When you got to schedule appointments to see your children. You got to pay your wife to let her divorce you. Call some of these athletes up.
Call Mel Gibson up. Hey, you made a lot of money writing a movie about Jesus died on the cross, but the money won't save you. The man will.
You missed it, Mel. Mel Gibson. Ask him if that is the thrill of life. Solomon had it all. Came to the end, he said, it's all vanity. Soap bubbles. Nothingness. Ask that baby out there if that's fun. No, it's not fun. It ain't fun for whoever's out there with her either. Amen. That's worse than the whale's belly. I had four kids, and I mean, my kids got lungs on them. I'm glad that they're past that stage. Now when they do that, we just beat them. Amen. Beat them for crying and beat them if they don't cry after we beat them. In the name of Jesus. You're missing out. You're missing out. You look at us and see the glamour and the hoopla of public ministry. Listen, we know us. And we know how many times we ran from the call and rejected the command and resided in our own choices. We've been in the whale's belly, got our own private suite with a fruit basket with fruit in it. We've been down there. But on the contrary, we know what it's like to carve out a spot under the spout where the glory comes out. And to watch heaven come down in spite of us. And I'm going to tell you something. I like it. Some of you need to get close enough to it just to catch a little whiff of it. You try it one time. You won't be caught up in some secular college and some sorry boy. Some basketball scholarship. No. When you get caught up on Jesus, nothing else is even remotely attractive to you. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Yeah, we failed and we faltered. We've stumbled and we've sinned. But he's a God whose compassion far outweighs our failure. And tonight, perhaps, he's coming to you again, saying, "You, I am the God of the second chance." Our Father, I do thank you tonight. Lord, I do thank you.